Welcome back to another week here on Eye of the Storm, a Guelph Storm podcast with myself, Ryan Drury, voice of the Guelph Storm on Rogers TV. And I'm very pleased to be joined by another member of the team, a veteran member of the team and part of the Guelph Storm leadership core this year. Very pleased to be joined by veteran defender Chandler Romeo. Chandler, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. And like I said, you know, you've really become a fixture as one of the veteran guys, and not just on the blue line, but as on the team as a whole, as one of the leadership core and a guy who's really heavily leaned on for those type of qualities. How would you sum up the season so far? You guys have gotten off to a pretty good start.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it looks good on paper that we've had a good start here, but there's been a lot of ups and downs. Potsy leaving to start the year, and everybody was, you know, eager to see if he was going to come back or not, but we played great to start the year, and we were happy with our start, and guys are taking on new roles and stuff. You know, maybe not pleased with our weekend last weekend, but we're still confident that we have a good group here. And, you know, finding out that he wasn't going to come back, I mean, that's tough on the guys, but other guys are stepping up, and we know now that we have to move on without him. So I think everybody's now going to realize that and put our best foot forward here.
Now, you were a big acquisition, obviously, you know, last year, and the team definitely got off to a very different start last year. There was a lot of struggles, particularly in their own zone. And now you look at the Guelph Storm this year, and, you know, despite a tough stretch recently, the team overall has drastically improved their play defensively. You're a massive part of that, and that includes the penalty kill, which has been off the charts good to start the year. In your mind, you know, for yourself and your teammates, what feels different this year compared to last year?
Well, it may look unintentional, but it was intentional. Like, beginning of the season, you know, our whole coaching staff really wanted to change the way we were playing. And we're now very aggressive on teams in the neutral zone, trying to get up and surf on guys, kill rushes before they can even get into the zone. And even just that personally has helped me a lot. Rob Collins has sat down a lot with me, and we've gone over video, and it's changed my game. And, you know, in the D zone, our wingers play really low, and they're trying to kill plays in the corner before the puck goes low to high. So just little tweaks that we've made in the D zone is, you know, it may look like we allow a lot of shots, but if you look, a lot of the shots that we're allowing are perimeter shots, and they're from the point, and, you know, stuff that our goalies, BG and Slavy, can see. So that's been helping too. And our PK, Fitzy's taken over the PK this year, and again, really aggressive. That's what we're going for. And we've had some early success here on that to start the season.
Well, you know, you bring up your two goaltenders, and I mean, Damian Slavik, I think we're still kind of learning a little bit about him, but he's been excellent in every start that he's gone in there. But the guy who's been carrying the load for the majority of the season so far is Braden Gillespie, who we refer to as Friday Night Lights up in the booth. What's it like playing in front of both those guys? Because they're both different goalies, Slavik a little bigger, Braden yeah. A little on the smaller side, but has been absolutely doing a phenomenal job. He's, a matter of fact, statistically one of the best goalies in the country. What's yeah. It like playing in front of those guys? Because it must be pretty fun as a defender.
Yeah, well, I mean, when BG came in last year, you could tell it was good. And I think he really took a step forward, knowing that he was probably going to have the starting role this offseason. So he came in, and he just gives a confidence to everybody around him. And especially when we know that when we're clearing the net and he can see those shots, like, he's not letting any of them squeak through. Like, he's positionally sound. He knows what he's doing. And it's just a calming feeling playing in front of him. And Slavy, he's been playing great too, the games that he's got into. Sadly, a couple of his starts, our team just came out a little bit flat, and, you know, he might have not got the win, but he's played great in every game that he's played in. So we got to play better in front of him on some of those nights where he's getting a start.
Well, I'll say this, Chandler, you know, the way you're describing your two goaltenders is kind of the way I think a lot of us, including us up in the booth, would describe you. I think that you're a calming influence out there, and, you know, your ice time reflects that. The situations where head coach Chad Wiseman throws you out there would reflect that. For yourself now, as an overager, part of the leadership core, there's some really great young defenders on this team. You know, you get Quinn Beauchesne coming in, and unfortunately just injured. We hope he's going to be all right. Ryland yeah. Singh, guys like Rowan Topp and Sandu are still younger guys. For mm-hmm. yourself, as, you know, kind of a veteran guy in his final year, what's it been like for you to kind of take on maybe a bit more of a teaching role?
Yeah, it's been it's definitely been different, especially with Cam obviously out of the lineup. But our young guys are all they're all eager to learn, and you know, it's not even so much me teaching; it's just like a lot of communication on the ice that helps guys out a lot. During training camp and stuff, I sat down with a few of them and just talk about basic things, because some of those guys are they're so skilled that if they have the confidence to play their game, that they just show it, and they play so well. You look at some of their offensive upside, and that's the thing. When you're playing with confidence, you're going to play better. So it's making the young guys feel confident on the ice, and that's going to help their game evolve. And they've been showing that. So
yeah, I certainly agree. None of them have looked out of place by any stretch. And, you know, you're a big part of that. You know, you've been honored, I'm sure, to be a member now for quite a few years of the OHL fraternity. Of course, a couple years ago, you got to hear your name called and become a member of the NHL fraternity, of course, a draft pick of the Ottawa Senators. I'm sure that was a very special moment for you and your family. What was it like, and what have they kind of communicated to you over the last couple of years since you were drafted in terms of growing your game, Chandler?
Well, absolutely. It was a great day for my family. A lot of uncertainty in that year just with COVID going on and stuff. Wasn't sure if I was going to get picked, but obviously heard my name called and I felt amazing. And my family, it was a good reward for them too, all the times that they, you know, were driving me to the rink and stuff like that. Definitely helped me grow as a player going to pro camps like that for the last few years. You learn so much more there. You treat it more like a job rather than just, you know, the privilege of playing in the OHL. It's more of a job there. So I learned a lot there, and I try and bring that back to the guys here in Guelph. And you know, there's a lot going on in Ottawa last spring when my deadline was up to sign, and unfortunately I couldn't sign with them, but that gives me the opportunity now to talk to 31 other teams. And I went to Florida's camp in the summer, so got some good feedback from there. So I'm just going from there.
Well, you've got an NHL frame already. I mean, and hey, there's never a shortage, and you can never have too many big defenders out there who can skate like you. I'm more than confident that you're going to get an opportunity to play in the NHL someday. You know, you mentioned your parents, obviously a special moment for your family. Let's wind the clock back a little bit. I know that you're obviously a Cambridge native, and you know, I know you started your journey, you know, a stop in Hamilton with the then Bulldogs there, and of course, a number of years with Sarnia before coming over to Guelph. It must be pretty special. The whole of it's very special, but I know it's particularly special for you and your family to be a member of the Guelph Storm. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, I like the two other places I played too. It was great there, but having the opportunity to come home last year and live at home and play for Guelph. I mean, I had season tickets growing up, like I've said in some other things before, but just very special. My family gets to come. I normally have about 15 people to a home game. So it's special for me, and I don't take it for granted. I know that most guys don't get that opportunity. So I'm trying to make the most of it here in Guelph, and I've been fortunate enough to live at home and have this privilege. So I'm just working to, you know, to earn that every day.
We're kind of a similar ilk in that sense where, you know, my best friend had season tickets when I was a kid. So I was going to Storm games, envisioning being up in the booth while you were there. You were envisioning being on the ice someday. So we've kind of both followed that journey from childhood, which is pretty cool. Who are some guys on the Storm back in the day that you remember watching all the time and thinking, man, that guy, he's my guy?
I mean, I used to come like years ago, and I remember guys that were old, like even like the Bertuzzi's here and stuff. And I came to a couple playoff games that year. And then even the 2019 year, I came to like every playoff game and saw when they won it here. So just like motivation like that. I remember Merkley's first season here in Guelph. I used to watch, and I was like, wow, he's 16 and like, look at what he's doing. So just so many players over the years that I've watched, and you know, I'd meet their billets in the stands, and I'd think, oh my God, that's so cool. Like I met their billets in the stands, like different stuff like that. So I think it adds a little bit of motivation here for me, especially in a year where, you know, it's my overage season. I can't come back next year, and we're going to have a good team this year and hopefully make a long playoff run here. So if I could, you know, live some of those moments from the ice, like I saw from the stands, that'd be really special for me.
I think you might be able to, because I agree your team is very, very competitive this year and you're a big part of it. You know, growing up in Cambridge, obviously playing youth hockey, I'm sure you have many memories, many cherished times, road trips to tournaments. And I know you spent your time with the U16 Toronto Marlies organization, which is, of course, a vaunted program. It's a legendary program. What are some of your favorite memories and maybe some people from back in those days that really influenced where you are now, Chandler?
Well, I was in Cambridge for most of my minor hockey, and then grade 9 Major Bantam came around, and my family decided that it'd be best to move to the GTHL just to play against some stiffer competition. And I was fortunate enough that year to play for Paul Coffey and the Toronto Marlies. His son Christian was on the team, and I'd say he was a major influence in my game. He he was all about playing with confidence and kind of knowing your role even at a young age like that, which I didn't really understand at that time. But now when I look back on some of the things that he was saying and stuff, it was so far ahead of what I've learned. It's stuff that I'm learning now as a 19, 20 year old that he was trying to influence on us back then at 14, 15. So I'd say he's been the biggest influence in my hockey. And then for minor midget, I played in the Toronto Red Wings, and that was a huge year there. We went to the OHL Cup final. So that was special, just playing on TV and stuff like that. I had great coaches there, Matthew Moore and Angelo Catanaro. They were amazing for me.
Well, hey, Paul Coffey, you could find a worse guy to influence a defenseman in particular. Pretty good skater, yeah. I heard. Pretty good skater,
I think so,
Paul
yeah.
Coffey. Yeah, and I'm sure he still looks pretty good on the blades. Obviously now, joining the OHL and, of course, dreams and aspirations of eventually getting to that next level, which, again, I think you can. Who were maybe some guys you grew up watching in the NHL that maybe influenced the way you play your game a little bit?
Nobody really that I grew up watching that I think influenced my game. I was always I was a Penguins fan back when they won it in 09, and I loved the double cups in 16 and 17. So always loved watching them when I was growing up. I met Sidney Crosby after a game once. So that was more of my motivation to keep playing hockey, just because I had those kind of heroes that I looked up to. But when I watch NHL games now, I see it from a different view, and I'm looking more for guys that play my style and have carved out a role for themselves in the NHL. And I look at guys like Jamie Oleksiak, Nikita Zadorov, even some things. There's two local guys I skate with in the summer, Nick Hague and Logan Stanley, and I watch their games, and I just try and watch the little details that normally people wouldn't see when they're watching the game. But those are two guys, or three or four guys, that I tend to pay attention to when I'm watching the NHL games.
I was going to say, you do remind me quite a bit of Nick Hague and his game, of course, Stanley Cup winner. And, the way you play, again, NHL teams, you can never have too many defensemen who know what they're doing out there defensively. And you're certainly one of them. I want to talk a little bit about the team this year, and we've already kind of talked a little bit about your goals and aspirations. Obviously, the team has gotten off to a great start. What's it going to take for you guys to just keep that consistency and keep this thing rolling? Because, again, defensively, you got a great defensive record. Both your special teams have been very good so far. What's it going to take to crank this up to another level as we head toward Christmas here?
I think it's going to be consistency. I think a lot of nights we come out and we play, say, 54 good minutes or 48 good minutes, and there's little slumps sometimes in the second period where we kind of get away from our game, and that's when other teams are able to capitalize on us, especially like they can get through our tight D zone. So I think it's just going to be about sticking to the game plan every night and trying to play a full 60, because when we are relentless and we're playing our best hockey, that there's not many teams that can skate with us in the league. We're a fast team. So it's going to be trying to play a full game every single night.
You grew up watching this team. You're already obviously very familiar with the city from your youth. But now that you're actually a member of the Guelph Storm and have been for a little while now, what's special about playing in Guelph? What's special to you about the city, the franchise, the fan base? Has anything surprised you in your time since becoming a member? What sticks out about being a Guelph Storm to you?
The history, for sure. I mean, it's special, I guess more special for me just because I grew up around it. But I mean, anybody that's going to come to our home game on a Friday night is going to see why it's so special. We get 4,500 people in the stands every night. It's loud. It's just a great atmosphere to play in. And the city downtown here is awesome. So there's so many special things about it. And it's run like a first-class organization. Our management and our coaches, they all just want the best from us. And they all have, so many prior years of history in the game. So I think it's just everything put together just makes it a very desirable place to play.
I completely agree. And it's a fun place to broadcast too. And the team's pretty fun to cover as well. I want to ask you, you know, a little bit about your equipment. Guys are very particular. Some are not very particular. You know, you mentioned Tyler Bertuzzi. He doesn't even tape the top of his stick. So where do you fall on that spectrum, and what kind of stick do you like to use? Or do you have any quirky equipment things that you like to do, Chandler?
Nothing too quirky. And I used to be more superstitious about what equipment I was using, but then as I got older in the OHL and I had a little bit more access to different things, I've switched things up a little bit, and I'm not afraid to use new gear. But I use True Sticks right now. I'm on a True deal with them, and I love my True skate, so I don't see myself getting out of True skates. I think they're the most comfy skate, and love my sticks with them. So nothing really too quirky. I've always used a P28 curve. Don't think I'm going to switch from that. Was a white tape guy, switched to black about a year ago. Somebody told me it hides the puck, so I thought I'd give it a try, and I've stuck with it ever since. But no, other than that, not too much different.
Yeah, true. Like, you're seeing a lot more guys grab a hold of that. I think Mitch Marner's definitely brought it into the fore, because I know he uses it. And Yager was a big True guy toward the end of his career. I believe he's actually invested in the company, if I'm not mistaken. Really? You're seeing a lot more guys use the True stuff, which is pretty interesting. And I've heard rave reviews about the equipment. I want to ask you a little bit now. You'll know from having seen some of the other episodes, big country group, your team are big country fans. If you're in control of the music in the room, what are we throwing on?
Well, typically in the room, it's between me, Alan, and Butchinger, who's on aux that day.
Okay.
If I'm in the room, the guys will say I play a bit too much, but I like Zach Bryan. He's kind of a new country artist, a little bit more folk, but every one of his songs I love. I just got tickets to him in his concert at the end of June. So if I'm in the room, I'm playing Zach Bryan normally. Pre-game, awesome. I'll switch it up. I'll throw some rap in there, maybe even some old rock. But practice days, country for sure.
There you go. Yeah. See, this is a common refrain that I've heard from your group. A little techno mixed in there at times, but I still haven't found any metalheads. I haven't found any metalheads yet to join me.
No, I don't think so.
That's okay. That's okay. You know, it's an eclectic taste. I understand. On that note then, and you'll know I ask your teammates this, you know, if you had a goal song, what would you pick?
I wouldn't go with country for a goal song, I don't think, just because it's not really loud during a game. Before games, sometimes I play some 50 Cent, and most of the guys love it. And I'm a big 50 Cent fan, so I'd probably play like either Disco Inferno or In the Club by 50 Cent. That'd be my goal song, I think. I think that'd get everybody rowdy, and pretty much everybody knows those songs. So I think the stands would be bumping if that one was playing.
I like it a lot. That's a great one. Yeah. It's no, that's special for sure. You know, I was informed by some of the team staff and by a couple of your teammates that I'm supposed to be referring to you as the Chan Man. Can you explain?
First, can you explain who told you that you should be referring to me as that?
I was told to keep that hidden.
All right. Well, something my mom actually used to call me when I was younger. And I think one of the boys went way back on her Instagram page and saw a birthday post saying happy whatever to the Chan Man.
Yes.
And it's been bouncing around the room a little bit this year. So I'm not sure who found that one and who started it, but a few of the guys have been calling me that, but I'd rather not go by that.
Yeah, you can investigate and ask around. And I know that it's, having heard the story, it's kind of a special thing between you and mom. We won't be using it in the booth. Don't worry. I'll stick with my Shakespearean goal call for you.
I like the Shakespearean one. It's a good one.
That'll stick, I think.
And I love the Mad Max to the Roof. That one's my favorite.
I'm glad you guys are getting some enjoyment out of it, because sometimes I think that I'm just having fun up there. And if you guys think it's good, great. You know,
we love it.
That's perfect. Obviously, you know, long road trips in the OHL, you know, you guys recently did the rip up north. I'm sure that maybe on the iPhone or the Mac, you've got some shows saved on there. Is there anything in particular that you like to dig into on those long roadies?
right now I'm not really a big guy for watching shows on the road, but I love a good show before bedtime, and right now I'm going with Billions.
Wow. Okay, I've heard it's good.
Yeah, I've watched Suits, big Prison Break guy. I've watched that twice.
Nice.
Mostly the popular stuff. I like all the classics, so classic Netflix series at least.
That's perfect. Okay, well, I'll make another suggestion because I've been telling the other guys, Cam Allen, another big Prison Break guy. You guys got to check out Peaky Blinders. That's my number one Netflix show of all time. And yeah, if you guys like Prison Break, Peaky Blinders, little bit of a different thing, you know, kind of old England type stuff. But it's loosely based on a real English gang. And if you like Prison Break, Peaky Blinders would be up your alley. It's fantastic.
All right. Is that one like back in time though? Placed?
Or is it's not like ancient times. It's like early 1900s.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. There's cars and stuff roaming around. It's not like we're not talking King Arthur here. You don't need a history lesson or anything to watch the show. It's very accessible.
Okay. Good.
Good stuff. Obviously, you know, you'd love to play in the NHL someday, and you've watched a lot of NHL games, and you'll know I've been asking all your teammates this. If you could put yourself in a dream starting lineup on the ice with anybody, could be guys you've played with, doesn't have to be NHL guys, but if you could put yourself in a dream lineup with you on left defense, who are you throwing out there with you?
All right. I'll go with Erik Karlsson as my D partner.
I like that.
So offensive, and I'm more of a defensive game. So he can have his leash and I'll stay back while he goes up there, rushes the puck, does his thing. I got to go Sidney Crosby for sure at center.
Of course.
Just childhood hero. Maybe some Nathan MacKinnon, right wing. I'll put him on the right wing. He can fly. Great player, obviously. So I'll go him there. And then left wing, who am I going to have? I'll put Max Namestnikov. So he can go to the roof. Yeah, he can. He can play left wing. I'm sure he'll put a few pucks in the net if those guys are playing with him.
Yes.
Yeah, he's my guy that I rode here with from Sarnia, so I'll go with him. And then goaltender, Marc-Andre Fleury, obviously was the mainstay back there when the Penguins were winning those cups. So I got to stick with my Penguin roots.
You think he's a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, for sure.
I do too. I think so. And he's, if I'm not mistaken, he's getting pretty close to second all time in wins. So
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, come on. That's Hall of Fame all day long. Well, Chandler, this has been a Hall of Fame worthy interview. I think it's been great to have you on here. And I was told by some of your teammates that you'd be one of the chattier guys. And I've certainly found that to be the case. No, well composed. You sound like a vet. And it's been a pleasure to watch you out there, man. You've been a great addition to the team since you came over. And it's been a lot of fun to watch you and the guys this year. So thanks so much for doing this and keep up the great work.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on and look forward to a long playoff run here for our Storm fans.
Absolutely. And speaking of the fans, remember, you can find this show on our YouTube channel. Just search Eye of the Storm, a Guelph Storm podcast. We're available on Spotify and Apple. You can also find links to the show on the Guelph Storm website. And if you need tickets, visit the Sleeman Center box office or the Guelph Storm website. I'm Ryan Drury. This has been Eye of the Storm. We'll be back next week with another one.